Hello, it's me. I was wondering, is it too late now to say sorry?
Sorry.
'Cause I love your podcast.
All right, that's a wrap.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Welcome to the show. It's episode 7 of Fathers of the Grind. And what you just heard was a special message from Eli. We're going to hear about that in just a minute. But my name is Tim Nestor. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening. And I am here with Derek Teague. So Derek, explain to us a little bit. What did we just hear from your son, Eli?
Well, first of all, let me say hi. We heard my son, well, his attempt at apologizing to you, because as many of our listeners are aware, there's been a bit of a rift or a feud between Tim and my son.
It's been quite the saga.
Yes, and so, like I've said in past episodes, he's been struggling to let go of everything that's been going on, and he was struggling with not being able to apologize to Tim. He was actually quite mad at me. So I told him, hey, I got an idea. Why don't we do a little recording to Tim, apologize to him there, and then we'll play it for him, see what he thinks. So we came up with the idea of him, well, what he just did. I thought it was quite special.
It really was. It really was. It moved me, and please communicate to him on my behalf that all is forgiven, and we all admire his many, many skills.
Well, the thing is I actually told him, and this kind of backfired on me, but I told him that I shared the song with Tim, and that you replied back immediately saying that you absolutely hated it and it would not be part of the show. Expecting the rivalry to continue or the hatred to build.
You just made him sad.
Yeah, well, no. He actually quickly responded and said, Dad, I absolutely hate you. I said, well, why the heck do you hate me? Tim said that. He said, it was your idea for me to sing, and it was a terrible idea. So he's actually mad at me, and everything backfired. I really wanted him to get more aggressive towards you and maybe do like heavy metal like hate song towards you next week.
Yeah, yeah. Well, whatever you come up with, whatever Eli comes up with, it's fine. I do get the feeling that we're not getting the full story since it's all coming filtered through your little mind. So I'm not really sure what's happening, but Eli, if somehow you hear this, buddy, it's all good. It's all good.
Hey, stay tuned, folks. In future episodes, you may have Eli actually running the show.
That would be pretty amazing. That would be amazing. All right, so we're going to kick things off with a new segment we are calling Listen.
Hey, listen.
So for those of you who aren't familiar, that is Navi, or is it Navi? Navi? I don't know.
I'm going to go with you're right, even for both answers.
Let's call her Navi. I'm from the Midwest. We overdo everything in pronunciations. So anyway, she's from Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
I'm sure somebody's going to yell at you.
They will. They'll be like, actually, it's Navi. Like, they're going to hit me with it.
Navi.
They're going to have like a little umlaut over the I. So what we want to do is we want to listen to some of you guys, and some of you have sent in some notes to us, you've sent in some Facebook comments, maybe a private message on Facebook, or in many cases you've gone to the website and submitted one of our contact forms. And so those are all great ways to get a hold of us. You could also email us at fathersofthegrind@gmail.com, fathersofthegrind@gmail.com. send us a quick note with your thoughts, your complaints, your praises. If you've got any compliments you want to throw our way, Derek loves to be complimented, so just stroke that ego.
Absolutely.
Or if you want to ask a question, maybe in this case, one question was brought up that we're going to discuss for a few minutes too, as kind of a mini topic. So love hearing from you guys. Really like hearing your insights on what it's like, not only as gamers, so really any type of gamer, you're welcome to write in, but especially for those of you who might be parents, or if you've got other responsibilities in life that are just really nagging at you and gaming kind of takes the back burner at times, I always want to hear from you. How are things going with you guys, and how are you working gaming into your life? So
can I just add on to that before you jump into the comments?
You can.
I just wanted to say I would 100% prefer positive feedback and positive comments towards me in particular, because my ego and my self-confidence is hurting at this point. I just wanted to let everybody, including you, know, so you're a little bit more gentler to me, because I'm feeling low. Yeah, I'm really struggling, so.
Okay. All right, well, this first one should cheer you up. This is from a listener named James. We'll withhold his last name for the moment. James writes in and says, that Derek guy should really talk more about his brother. He sounds like a cool guy.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, I enjoy the show when Derek wasn't talking.
Oh.
Thanks, James.
Oh, wow. I wonder what James's last name is. Is it Prick? James Prick? I was confused. No, it's, of course, James Teague, and that is my brother, and I am very happy that he actually listens to our show.
Yeah.
I figured he would have quit by now. But.
Yeah, that was one of the original comments that we got that came in. So thank you, James, for writing in. We also got early on, after our first show, we got a comment from Jose Nunez, and he writes and says, hello, let me start off by telling you that the first episode was solid, and I loved it. I'm a 25-year-old who just got married to the love of his life. Congrats, Jose. I, too, have difficulty finding time to balance my gaming, relationship, and work. So, Jose, Derek, and I can totally relate to that. Balancing family, gaming, and work, and all the other things that are going on in life, we can totally relate to that struggle.
Now, are you writing these comments? Because I don't believe we have any listeners that would write in.
Yes. Yes, I'm totally writing these, so... Wouldn't that be the saddest listen segment ever?
You just pull random names out of a hat.
Oh, no, we got a note from Harold.
Let's
see what Harold has to say.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, this one, this is one of my favorite ones. Let's really just savor this one. This comes from a friend and listener, Jesse White. How's it going, Jesse? I was actually just now playing some Rocket League with Jesse on the Xbox One. So Jesse writes in and says, my son Noah professed to me yesterday during Rocket League, the Nesterfunk, that is me, is the best Rocket League player he's seen play. This includes the hundreds of randoms he's played with. Sorry, Derek, Tim appears to be the winner. Thanks, guys. Great show, Jesse. Now, I just want to say, first and foremost, Jesse is one of the smartest, accurate in all that he says types of guys. Before you say anything in response, I mean, Jesse just doesn't get much wrong. So, anyway, what are your thoughts on that comment?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I totally agree with Jesse. I didn't just block him right now. No, I did not go on Facebook and block Jesse White.
Sure.
I completely agree with everything he said, except everything he said is completely false. Tim is what I would consider... You know, I like to do FIFA scores. I think if you were in FIFA, and I had to rate you as a player for Rocket League, I would give you a high 18 out of 100. So I definitely think you're good. What that tells me is Noah has very low standards. Like, Noah's 18. The type of guy, I'm guessing Noah's the type of guy, he's like, oh, man, I saw the ball go in. That means Tim's good.
Oh, man, 18. What a specific number. You seem like you've been holding on to that one for a while.
Yeah.
Tim's an 18.
Yeah, 18's not bad. It just basically means that you wouldn't actually be on a team, but it's not that bad.
Well, now you might not be familiar with 100-point scales, but let me just go ahead and throw this thought out there. 18 actually is bad, but thank you for the ranking. Appreciate that. Just to be clear to everyone listening, if you haven't played Rocket League, really, really fun game that combines basically racing and kind of a demolition derby style arena with these really fast cars with soccer. It's really, really fun. Derek is very good at that game. He and I have been playing for the same amount of time. I think we're probably about even. We play really well together sometimes, and other times I think we're trying to do the same thing and we don't always mesh. It just depends, but great game. And
you know what it is, right. I won't go on too long because again I fear we bore the listeners with too much Rocket League talk, but you know what it is I think sometimes you and I are chatty. We're chatty on this podcast.
That's true.
When we play Rocket League, especially when it's just him and I, we get real chatty with each other. And yeah. I stop paying attention to the actual game. And I can't speak for Tim. I think he does too. And
I totally do. Yeah.
There will be balls. Yeah, I said balls that Tim will be chasing, and I'll just follow him without even thinking, and I'll just go steal it from him, or he'll do it to me, or something like that. And I noticed that the other night when we were struggling, and I was like constantly going, "Oh, sorry," because I took his shot.
Yeah, we were just talking. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm with you.
That's enough Rocket League talk. But I do have, before we go into the next section, because we have some listener questions, I have an exciting announcement. My brother, because we're speaking of Rocket League, my brother, who is an Xbox One owner, and that's James Prick, that's P-R-I-C-K, he is now the proud owner of a PlayStation 4. So I'm going to push him to go ahead and get Rocket League on the PS4. I know he could get it on the Xbox One, but I would prefer he got it on the PS4 because that's where we've played the most, and that's where we've got like a big group of guys that we play with.
Yep. There are some guys on Xbox One too. Of course, we got you got Nate Bacon, you got Jesse White. We played with Joe Ryan a couple times, and there's going to be others who play on the Xbox One as well. But PS4, at least as far as we're concerned, that's where most of our community would be playing. So.
Yeah, I got it on both, so I don't care if he gets it on one or the other, or even if he got it on both, I would be real happy, but I'm just hoping he'll at least get one copy.
Cool. Well, congrats.
So, shout out to James Prick.
All right, James. All right, so let's get to a couple of listener questions. I grabbed three of them. The first one is from listener and friend John Martin. How's it going, John? Here's his question. Is it true that Tetris is the greatest fighting game of all time?
So, first of all, John Martin is a genius. This is probably the best question we'll ever get.
It really
to
is.
The answer.
Yeah.
I would have to agree. I love how he states it too. Is it true? Yes, of course, John.
It's like a reporter question when they're trying to swing the interview a certain way.
Isn't it true that you know? Yes, John.
It is.
Tetris is.
Yeah, man, you're always fighting for them blocks, you know? Trying to get that Tetris lined up. Nothing better feeling than getting that Tetris. All the pieces in place.
To give a serious answer, since I actually do like fighting games, and Tim, this isn't something I don't think you really particularly care about, since you confessed last week that you're not a big fighting game fan.
That's true.
Mortal Kombat's my favorite fighting game to play, as far as, like, I like the fatalities, I love the lore and characters and the universe they created. But as far as the best or greatest fighting game, the actual fighting mechanics, to me that would go, and again, I'm speaking to me personally, it would go to Killer Instinct. It's just the best.
I thought you were gonna say Tetris.
Oh well, you know, I thought about Tetris, and then I realized John's an idiot.
Those are good games. Yeah, Killer Instinct was great. I played it for the first time back on the N64 when it first came out. I remember I had like the. I want to say it was a black cartridge, or maybe it was red. Mm. It was a special color.
No, they
it was
had
not
a, yeah, they had a black one. Yeah, I have.
I think it was black. Yeah, yeah. All right, so thanks, John. Good question. John is always making us laugh, so thanks, John, for doing that again. All right, so we got a question here. This one's for Derek.
I can't repeat 90% of what John says.
Yeah, I know. But we love you, John. All right, here's another listener and friend of ours, Brian Pelfrey. And by the way, on Twitter, he is at HighDefPimp, if you want to follow him on Twitter.
Probably the greatest name ever.
It is great. Yeah, kudos to you, Brian. HighDefPimp, I like that. He writes in, he says, my question is for Derek. You mentioned how much you hated the dogs, a.k.a. the Cerberus, in Resident Evil. Having played both Resident Evil and Resident Evil Zero, which do you think is worse, the dogs in Resident Evil or the monkeys in Resident Evil Zero? I personally hate the monkeys more because they are faster and take more damage, only taking knockdowns from a shotgun blast or better. Love the show. All right, thanks, Brian. Derek, what do you think?
Well, I did find the monkeys to be extremely infuriating. I think the reason why I disliked Cerberus more is because they're lower leveled as far as they're smaller in height. So to actually aim and shoot at them while they're coming and running right at me and jumping real quick too, especially the parts that I'm thinking in my head right now as I'm talking about this, compared to the monkeys, which were pretty easy to spot and aim and fire and shoot at and have no issues actually hitting, I would still personally say Cerberus, because like I said, they were harder for me to hit, and one of the areas that I ran into them and had the most trouble with them is when you walk outside and you have to blow a dog whistle. This is not a spoiler, by the way. You blow a dog whistle and two of them come running at you, but because of Resident Evil's camera angles, it's actually really difficult to like spot them before they actually appear on the screen and jump all over you.
Gotcha.
And that was the part that I found the most infuriating. I obviously eventually ended up destroying them, but I got to see the "You Are Dead" screen a few times.
Yeah, yeah, but the monkeys, I'm assuming, are also equally close to being as annoying.
Yeah, they're very crazy, and like you said, they take more damage, and they're flying all over you, just jumping around. But I found the servers, for me personally, because I died on them more, were more infuriating than the monkeys.
Nice. All right, well, thanks, Brian, for writing in. Appreciate that, man. Thanks for the support.
Yes, great question, great games.
Yeah. All right, and our last question, and we're going to kind of shift into a little bit of a mini topic here, comes from listener Robert Snow. He is at PardonTheRob on Twitter, at PardonTheRob, no spaces, on Twitter. Thanks, Robert, for writing in. He says, "Hey guys, I'm a dad, and one game that I play with my wife and some of the kids is Disney Infinity. Do you guys play any Toys to Life games with your kids? What do you think of the model of buy toys as some sort of expansion or DLC? Love your podcast. Feel free to keep it long and angry. Robert." I like that. I like that, Robert. Right, nice
first
comment.
First of all, I want to say that I appreciate Robert's question and comment the most. So thank you, Robert.
yeah, that's awesome. All right, now, so what I want to do is I want to answer his question and kind of shift into kind of a mini topic here. I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but the main reason I can't spend a lot of time on it is because I do not have any Toys to Life games whatsoever in my household. There's several reasons for that, but it's not something we wouldn't enjoy. I think it's somewhere that my family is going to go at some point. I've just avoided it up to this point. My kids don't know much about it. They haven't gotten sucked into the Disney or Amiibo or Skylanders traps yet. So my answer isn't that exciting. I've got some thoughts on where it could go in the future, but I'm kind of going to throw this to Derek because I know he and his family do have some Toys to Life stuff. So Derek, what do you think about Robert's question? Are there certain Toys to Life games that you play? And what do you think about that model for games in general?
All right, so I'll start with the what ones I own or what ones do I play. I bought every Skylanders game except Superchargers, which is the last one that just released. I've bought all the Disney Infinity games. Now, what I do is I just buy the games and then I never buy any extra characters until Disney Infinity 3.0. I've actually bought all the play sets for Star Wars, and then I've bought a few extra Star Wars characters.
All right, let me just pause real quick and ask you, as someone who's uninitiated in this, you said you bought all the characters for 3.0. So what does that mean? How many characters are we talking? What kind of investment are we looking at for something like that?
Let me state it a little bit better. I bought, as far as the Star Wars go, you buy the Star Wars set that comes with 3.0. And then there's two separate sets that comes with two characters in each one. I can't remember off the top of the head what the names of the sets are. But basically, you get Princess Leia in one, and it's the Force Awakens is the other pack that comes with the lead characters.
Does it come with Kylo Ren or somebody?
No, I had. That's why I went and bought the other ones. I bought like Kylo Ren because after I saw the movie, I was like, I freaking love you. So I went and bought him.
Yeah.
But see, I never do that. I normally don't do that. But the Star Wars, I actually enjoy Disney Infinity 3.0's gameplay. And so I was like, okay, I can justify buying Kylo Ren. I bought Darth Maul. So basically, I like all the dark side characters.
So then let me ask you then. You said you like the gameplay. Is it a brand new game from the other Disney Infinity games, or is it more of a DLC?
Well, the 3.0 is a brand new game, and it was actually the playset that I was playing, the one that comes with the 3.0 version, was partially made by Ninja Theory. And for any of our listeners, and maybe even you that know who Ninja Theory is, they are a developer I really like. I'm a big fan of theirs. They redid Devil May Cry. That got a lot of flack, but I loved it. It's my favorite Devil May Cry game. They did Enslaved, which is another game that I absolutely freaking loved.
Yeah, that's the one that came to mind when you said Ninja Theory, because Enslaved is fantastic.
Yeah, so they've done a lot of games. They also did And if I'm wrong, I tell my listeners, like, what am I, some big freaking shot? But I tell
like the a cult leader.
I know. My listeners.
My listeners.
I tell them, call me out if I'm wrong, but I'm going off memory here. I believe Heavenly Sword is the first major game they released. So I'm a big fan of Heavenly Sword as well. But anyways, so they helped create the gameplay for the major playsets. So I feel like, although they're not top of the line, you can tell this isn't 100% Ninja Theory doing it. They're much improved compared to Disney Infinity 2.0 and so on. They're not as slow and sluggish. So they're actually fun to play. The Star Wars ones play like with a nice little hack and slash feel to it. Plus, you obviously got your guns as well. But so yeah, I bought those and I bought some characters. So to answer his second question, what do you think of the model of it? I don't have a huge issue with it, and it's probably because I view it the same way I view DLC. You don't want it, don't buy it. I know it sounds like a cliche, stupid answer, but it's really true. I understand how people get trapped, but I more get trapped on buying new games. I love buying new games. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I do. But when it comes to, like, amiibos or characters in these toys / video games, I don't do it unless I really want that toy. Like, I really wanted Darth Maul. And after I saw The Force Awakening, Force Awakens, I really wanted Kylo Ren.
By the way, I looked up Ninja Theory real quick while you were talking, and here are the games they've done. They started with Kung Fu Chaos. This is according to Google, so I hope this is accurate. Kung Fu Chaos in 2003, Heavenly Sword, you were right, in 2007, Enslaved, Odyssey to the West, which, guys, that's such a good game. One of the best games of last gen. One of the most overlooked games of last gen. They did that in 2010. They did the DMC, Devil May Cry game in 2013. And then they did Disney Infinity 2.0 and 3.0 in 2014 and 15 back-to-back. Mm-hmm. So they did not do the first iteration, it looks like, of Disney Infinity. And then now their next game coming up looks like Hellblade, which I think...
Yeah, I was going to say, as you were releasing the years that they released these major games, it looks like they're on every three-year cycle, excluding, obviously, Disney Infinity. But again, I think that's more of a side project, because if you boot up the game, it's not just their name that flashes up. It's several names, several partners that work on those games. Mm-hmm. But 2016 sounds like Hellblade, which I know that excites Jesse White. And as a fan of their studio, I'm really, really excited about Hellblade. But yeah,
let me ask you this. Let's get back to Toys to Life real quick. Let me ask you. So let's say I'm in the store. And whether it's me or my kids or a combination, get real excited about some... Let's say we look at Disney Infinity 3.0. We say, you know what? Let's do this. Let's get into this. So I buy the starter pack. Mm-hmm. Maybe I pick up a couple characters that aren't included, like the Kylo Ren or, you know, others. Do I then have access to 2.0 and, I guess, 1.0? Or do I have to go back and buy those discs separately? How does that work?
Yeah, you got to... Well, each portal is different. So you have to basically buy the starter pack, because they released on some of the consoles that 2.0 and 1.0 were actually free to download, because they knew if you didn't have the portal, it was a pointless download. So yes, to answer your question, you need the portals for those versions. So essentially you're going to have to buy the starter pack. But what I was going to tell you, and again, you play enough games and your kids have enough games, so this would just be something that you would have to decide down the road, because you want to do it and you want to play with your kids. But what I would do is, you're a Star Wars fan, wait for 3.0 to go on sale. It's going to drop. They all do. They all drop to about $20, or even sometimes, I think I just saw a Skylanders one that was only like one or two versions old. It wasn't that old of one. Maybe a year or 2 years old, and it was $15 at Best Buy.
Yeah, the Skylanders ones are on clearance like crazy right now.
Yeah, because they have so many of them. And Skylanders, I believe, is not selling as well, because I think Disney Infinity is kind of taking over. I know that's why I didn't buy Superchargers, is because I just don't have that much fun with Skylanders as much as I did when they first launched. And the other part is, Robert mentioned that he plays it with his wife and kids. I pretty much play these by myself. I mean, Eli, my youngest, he's played some of Skylanders, and he's played a little bit more Disney Infinity, but he's more of, and we've talked about this before, he's more of a sports kid, so he doesn't really get into them as much as I do.
Okay. Well, I do know that if I were to get them, my kids would be totally into it, because we don't really have anything quite like that. So yeah, I can see them really enjoying it. Let me ask you this before we move off of this topic. Are there any IPs or any franchises of any kind, whether they're part of video games already or not, that you could see really benefiting from diving into the Toys to Life? So we know that there's Nintendo's jumped in with Amiibo, and I don't think they really have a core adventure game that uses all of them yet, although that could be coming. But we know Disney Infinity, they've got their kind of core adventure game, like you said, the hack and slash type of a game. Mm-hmm. And then there's Skylanders, which has a combination of a couple different types of games. What other franchises or IP out there, maybe just pick one or two, that you could see working well with this kind of model?
Okay, I'll give you just my personal one that I would absolutely love to see, and that I would be posting every 5 seconds how I bought every single character. And that would be any future Mortal Kombat game coming out with all the characters, you can buy them as toys. And then as long as they do something special with them, like, hey, buy Ermac and you unlock 5 additional costumes and an extra fatality or something like that. I think fighting games work really well. Of course, Amiibos kind of sold better because of the whole Smash pairing up that they did. But I didn't even think, and this is, again, just my opinion, I didn't even think Nintendo did a good job with Smash. So I think other companies or other, like you were talking about, other games, if they did take this approach, they could do so much more. Nintendo has not done enough.
Yeah.
Disney is obviously doing a good job with Disney Infinity, but I think if you're going to sell a toy and you're saying it works really only in the game, you need to add something to that game. Like,
yeah.
I only own 2 Amiibos right now. I'm going to own a third one in about 2 weeks. But I only own 2. I own Link and I own Marth. I just bought Marth. But I only bought Marth because I can actually use Marth in an upcoming game. And so That's literally the only reason why I bought it. Even though I'm a huge fan of Fire Emblem.
There's one major one that we left out, and I didn't do this on purpose, but that's Lego Dimensions, right? That's pretty much a Toys to Life type of a model. And that's one that I think is a brilliant idea because of just the nature of Legos and building what you want and the way that the platform reads the pieces. I mean, that's just brilliant. It's just awesome, awesome use of this model for Legos. I think there are other ones out there. I'm kind of intrigued by your idea of going the more mature route with something like Mortal Kombat, because I've always imagined that this Toys to Life thing, it captures the interest and imagination of gamers, both, you know, adults and kids. But it really, I would imagine, makes its money when you target the kids, because then you're getting whole families on board. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that's where they make their money, as opposed to just people would be interested.
I of course think that a Disney Infinity toy would, I say of course, but I don't know, would probably outsell, like, a, let's say, Mortal Kombat 11. Introduce toys, and if you bought special ones, they actually unlock characters or something like that. I do believe more adults buy these games for themselves than they do just for their kids.
Okay. And you're speaking as one who does that.
Yeah. I mean, I buy almost all of them, and they're usually for me, and I know a lot of other adults who don't even have kids that buy these games, and they enjoy the actual games, they enjoy the toys, they enjoy everything about them. So I do think a mature game could do it. I was just giving you, you know, off the top of my head, the one I would want personally the most. Mm-hmm. If I was in the business of making money, I would keep it the way they're doing it now, and that's Nintendo could do so much more, and I think they will with their next console.
Yeah.
But a Nintendo with what they're doing, and then Skylanders are going to have to make some changes, but Disney Infinity is nailing it. They're taking very, very popular properties, and they're bringing them to life in video games through these toys, and it's not a shock that they're selling really well.
Our last question for you about Toys to Life. Do you have a place that you kind of prominently display your collection, or do you just tuck them away somewhere when you're not using them?
Well, because I don't have, well, I guess I do have a good amount. No, I don't. I don't put them out. They get thrown in a box, and some of them are just broke. I've got at least 4 Disney Infinity characters that have been decapitated, but that's Eli's fault. I'm not trying to be a jerk or throw him on the bus.
Don't throw Eli on the bus. Oh. Now you're gonna have to make him an apology song. What's that about?
It's too late to apologize.
Oh boy, we just lost a lot of people right there in that moment. So if any of you have a collection of these toys that are part of these game collections, whether it's Amiibo, Lego Dimensions, Skylanders, or the one we just talked about, Disney Infinity, or maybe there's others that I'm forgetting, I'd love to see what your setup is. Do you have them on display? I've seen plenty of people have these great shelves that are set up just for these, and they set them up to look real great. If you do, then tweet them at me, at Tim_Nestor, and we'll be sure to give you a mention in the next episode, as well as retweet you so everyone can see your awesome display there. So
I know,
go ahead and send me a tweet with that.
I know Dan Phillips, again, another one of our listeners, posted a picture of his collection. He's got a very impressive collection. I believe he has every single Amiibo. If he is missing one or two, it's because they're the rare ones, but I believe he has them all. So he posted a pic. It's pretty sweet. I would love to do that, but again, I prefer games over the collector item, so I buy games.
Well, we don't want a picture of all your stuff shoved into a basket or box in the corner. We don't need to see that.
I'll take a picture of me topless with my digital with my digital collection.
That's going to be amazing. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about what we're playing now. So here's what I want to do. I don't want to dwell on this too much because we can both get, as many of us can, as many of you listeners can too, totally lost in discussing what we're playing now, what are our impressions, you know, how do these games make us feel, what was the experience like. We can go on and on about these games. So I am giving us each 60 seconds. That's it, 60 seconds. We'll each get 60 seconds to recap what are you playing, and as part of that, how are you doing with your 4 in February? So maybe that is all you're playing. At least for me, it has been, with one exception. So I'm going to go first to kind of give you a chance to decide exactly what you want to cover and for how much.
Selfish.
I'm going to give myself, let me get my stopwatch up here. And I'm going to give myself 60 seconds, and then I'll stop, and then I'll tell you to go ahead and go. We're giving people an update again. What we're playing right now, how our 4 in February is going. And you should have a few seconds there to give us an impression on whether or not you liked something. So, all right, here we go. I'm going to start right now. All right, so this past week I've been playing a lot of Rocket League on the Xbox One. It's been a lot of fun. I've had a few frame rate or perhaps laggy type issues from time to time, but overall, great experience. Love playing it on the Xbox One. I've also been playing a little bit of Lego Marvel Super Heroes, not the one that just came out, the Avengers, but the older one, and my kids and I are jumping back into that a little bit. As far as 4 in February goes, we've already talked about this. I finished Ori and the Blind Forest. Love it. Finished Firewatch, and I know that's breaking the rules, but I'm just going to have to call it 4 games, regardless of what log they're in, that I finished. So Firewatch is done. By the way, I recognize the voice actor. It's Rich Sommer from Mad Men. He's not an unknown guy, which is awesome.
Oh, nice.
Finished Fire Emblem Awakening, which is a great game. Getting ready for Fates. I finally went back and finished that. And I finished Life is Strange last night, which, by the way, one of my favorite games from last year. So that's where I stand right now, and I'm getting ready to jump into Tomb Raider. And time's up. All right, are you ready?
Oh, you're literally talking about 60 seconds for all of them.
Yeah. Can you do it?
God. Dude.
I just killed it. I just absolutely killed it.
I take 60 seconds to say my name.
All right, take a breath. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, I'm going to hit start. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so for my 4 in February, I have completed Tales from the Borderlands, Borderlands pre-sequel, and Resident Evil Remastered. So those 3 are done and gone. I'm currently focused on Telltale's Game of Thrones. I finished episode 3 last night, so I'm going to continue that. I'm actually a few chapters into episode 4, so that will be my 4th game. I wrote down Firewatch as a game I'm playing, but to be honest, I'm not really playing it because I'm not really digging it. And that's a wrap.
Hmm. Give me a quick update, good or bad, on those games that you finished. Resident Evil Remastered, yes?
Yes, what?
Is it a good game? Bad game. Give me good or bad.
Good.
Borderlands, a pre-sequel?
Good.
Okay, all right. Tales from the Borderlands.
Good.
And so far, Game of Thrones, the Telltale game. What's your experience with that?
Surprisingly good.
Okay, nice, nice. And that's time right there. But Firewatch, you're not really digging so much. That's too bad. I really, really liked it.
I'm, you know what? I try not to blame games, so I'm going to say it again. Maybe it's not the game. Maybe I'm just playing too many of these walking simulators, and I'm finding it very boring. I'm not finding the characters boring. I'm not finding the potential of the how the story could play out. Although I'm not really far in it enough to say, oh, there's really something pushing me to play. But I do want to know what everybody's talking about. I do see people commenting about this game. I've heard P.S. I Love You talk about this game a lot. They weren't as impressed as many other reviewers and stuff. So I have an interest and a desire to finish.
Oh, there we go.
To finish Firewatch. But the struggle is every time I log in and play, I'm just walking around and I don't know where I'm going 90% of the time, and so I'm just walking around, and I'm like, okay, I'm the type that's like, give me, if I'm at point A, show me where point B is, and I'll just go there. I know I'm the opposite of a lot of gamers that are like, put me in a world and let me wander, but that's not me.
So then what about putting that one on the back burner and then coming back to it once there are a couple of easy-to-follow guides? That way you can at least get through it. Is that something you think you'll do at some point?
Oh, I'm going to finish the game. When I finish it, I don't know. I think my main goal right now is to get through 4 in February. In fact, tonight, instead of recording this, I should have been playing Game of Thrones because there's this little game coming out tomorrow that I kind of want to just throw myself at. so I really wanted to get through Game of Thrones. So thanks a lot, Tim, for...
So we're recording this on Thursday the 18th. The game he's talking about comes out on Friday the 19th. Thanks, Nintendo, for your weird release dates of the week. But that is Fire Emblem Fates, and I'm with you. My excitement level is about as high as it could be for a game.
I mean, it's the most you'll ever hear me get hyped for a handheld. I most of the time rag on handhelds like Vita. And even the 3DS, I'm not as hard on that, but... I'm not a huge handheld fan because there's just not a lot of titles I particularly care about. But this is, after I played Awakening, I loved it so much.
Yeah,
and
so good.
I know Tim and I are opposite ends on this, but I would really, really, really love a Fire Emblem game on a console because I prefer.
They do have a few of them, though.
I know. And we talked about it, so I don't want to bore people. I know they're out there. But I really want one on my Wii U or on the next, well, I guess you could call it the NX. So here's what you need to do. You need to go track down,
it might be expensive, but go track down Radiant Dawn for the Wii. It should work on your Wii U. Mm-hmm. That game is awesome. It's fantastic. It doesn't have the depth of Awakening, but it still has a great Fire Emblem experience and a I think, even better story than Awakening.
Oh, so
it's really, really good. Yeah, it's good.
I will. I can get that from GameStop, so I might do that.
Yeah, just it might be expensive, but check it out. See what you can get it for.
Because I have a certificate, I could probably get it for $40, which isn't bad when you consider how rare any Fire Emblem game is right now.
Yeah. Real quick, for those of you who like other podcasts and like other suggestions for other podcasts, check out Beyond's recent, I think came out on this past Tuesday the 16th, I want to say. They had a recent roundtable with Campo Santo, the developer of Firewatch, where it's completely spoiler-filled, so don't listen if you haven't played it yet. But if you have played, I haven't listened to it myself, but I want to, but I've heard great things about their discussion on the game that they developed, that they made. So check that out, as well as if you are at all interested in this Fire Emblem Fates game that Derek and I can't stop talking about. It's like our new Rocket League. We can't stop talking about it. Then there's a great podcast that just came out this past week from IGN on NVC, Nintendo Voice Chat, and most of their discussion. It's an hour-long podcast. I would say about 35, 40 minutes of it is all about their experience so far with Fates, and it sounds fantastic. I'm really excited for it, so go check that
out. Yeah, I know a few people that are like, oh, I don't really know what Fire Emblem is, and then they've gone, and well, first of all, they've heard you and I talk about it. They've read our posts about it, and then they've went and listened to the NVC show, and they've walked away going, wow, maybe I need to just jump into this game. And that's one thing I will say before we move on. I know we're trying to move on, but Fire Emblem, it doesn't really matter which one you buy. You can play any Fire Emblem game out of order. You don't need to play them. You don't need to play Awakening first, is what I'm trying to say. So if you didn't play Fire Emblem Awakening, it doesn't mean you can't buy Fates, which Fates comes with, you can either get Birthright or Conquest. I suggest you go with Birthright if you're new to the Fire Emblem series, because it's going to be a little bit easier to play. And as we discussed,
well, one thing
earlier,
I'll say, the one franchise that's comparable to would be Final Fantasy.
Think about
the way that Final Fantasy is set up, where each numbered entry is separate from the last one, or even from ones that were many, many years ago. Yeah. They're all their own contained story, and yet they have beats that are similar. Fire Emblem's very, very much in that same boat.
Yeah.
As far as it's a new story, new characters, there's even a new lead, new world. The only ones that carry over that I know of, and I could be wrong on this, was Path of Radiance on the GameCube had a direct sequel in Radiant Dawn on the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the same characters, same world. You're kind of continuing the fight. Even though Path of Radiance is a complete story and it has a conclusion, Radiant Dawn picks up not too long after that, and things keep on going.
Yeah.
All right, Fire Emblem. Oh, quick story about that. Let me just share this real quick. I've shared it to a few people that I've talked to about my trip to Toys R Us yesterday. I don't usually go to Toys R Us, but I was there picking up. They had some kind of sale on car seats, and we needed to upgrade our twins to a bigger car seat size. So I went to pick up these car seats. I was on a mission. I was given a couple of honey-do list items from the wife on my way home from work. So I went over to Toys R Us, and of course, I had to wander over to the video game section just to take a gander and see what was going on.
I do it in every store.
I have to. So I'm looking around, and they're offering to help me, and I could see the look in their eye. They don't know anything about games. So I'm like, no, I got it. You know, you're good. I'll let you know if I need something. Well, I did need something, because I get over to the 3DS case, and sitting there vertically, not facing me, it's just the side of the case, I saw Fire Emblem, and I thought, oh, that must be copies of Awakening, the 3DS game. And there was a bunch of them. There was probably 10 of them. And as I look closer over the edge of the little container, I could see Fire Emblem Fates, and I saw Birthright. Fire Emblem Fates, Conquest. There were 3 copies of Conquest and 7 copies of Birthright just sitting right there, just ready to go. This was on Tuesday, and I just couldn't believe it. And I'm staring at it, so I just calmly went over and asked the girl who was working at the counter, hey, could I get 2 games out of the case over here? So she grabs them, and I'm just giddy. You know, I'm just getting ready to just, I don't know why it got me so excited to get it 2 days early. I can't explain it. Hopefully some of you can relate to that.
I was so
excited. And so she starts to ring them up, and I'm like, and I made some comment about here for the seats, but I figured I'd grab some games. She's like, yeah, that sounds good. And she starts to ring them up, and then she goes, oh, you know what? Looks like we can't sell these till the 19th. And I was like, well, you know, I tried to kind of subtly hint, let's go ahead and just ring them up anyway. Come on, help me out. And she was like, hey, but you know what? They come out in 2 days, so that's good. I was like, no, that's not good. You just crushed my spirit. But anyway,
trying to scam the system.
I would have been so excited, but they were right there. They were within reach. I almost had them in my hands, but it didn't work.
That actually happened to me twice. One time was at, I believe, Walmart. I want to say it was Gears of War 3, but it may have been 2. But it was one of the Gears that I was extremely excited for. And I had already pre-ordered it at GameStop or whatever, but I walked into the store and there it was. And I didn't make as much money back then, and so I didn't buy as many games. So to already have it pre-ordered, it wasn't like feasible really for me to buy it again. But I ran out to the car and I'm like, oh my God, honey. Of course, I'm talking to my wife, not to some random honey. And I'm like,
thanks for clarifying.
She's like, what? I'm like, they have, and I think it's Gears of War 2. They have Gears of War 2. And she's like, okay. I'm like, you don't understand. It doesn't come out for like 3 more days. Mm-hmm. Can I buy it now? And then I'll just get a refund on the one that I pre-ordered. And she's like, no. And she just drove off. So I got denied. And then the other one, and I'll make it quick, is I was at Target, and I saw Fable 3 ready to be sold. And I was like, yes! So I only had to wait you know, two or three more days for this one. This one was all on the floor, I think, on a Friday, and it was released on Tuesday or something like that. And I took it to the counter, you know, trying to be sly. And the exact same thing happened as you. The guy was all nice. He had no clue what I was doing or anything about a release date block.
You were feeling so hopeful.
Yeah, and I was sitting there. I was like, please, please work. Please work. I really want this. And he rang it up, and sure enough, it said, oh, I can't sell it to you. It locks me out saying you have to come back on Tuesday. And I'm like, and I play, you know, try to play stupid. And I was like, but it's already out on the floor. Why would it be on the floor? And he was like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We accidentally put it out on air. We'll get it removed right away. And I'm like,
no, that doesn't help me. Don't get it removed. Get it to me.
I was like, I don't want you to remove it. I want you to freaking give it to me.
Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. There was my, not really a sad story, but still, it was like high hopes and then crushed dreams all in a matter of moments. Toys R Us.
I personally was happy you were denied because I don't want you to play it before me. But.
Oh, man, I would be, you know what? We wouldn't have recorded tonight if I had it. Like, I would have called it off for the week. Like, oh, I'm really sick. Sorry. And I actually am sick. If you guys, I'm sure you can tell, last few weeks, I've been fighting a horrible cold. And still hanging on to me. I hate it. But I still am recording regardless of the cold. I would have called it off if I had gotten Fire Emblem Fates. Just to be like, sorry, man. I am playing the game that you don't have yet. Oh, but I can't do that. So.
Yeah, you're sad not face. A jerk, but no big
deal. Sad face. All right. Let's talk about some gaming news. We're going to do some quick hits here. So I'm going to give you three headlines, and you pick one. I think I know of these first three which you're going to pick. Are you ready to pick?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go. Number one, Hitman Go is arriving on the PlayStation Network and Steam on February 23rd. That is coming up in just a few days. That's number one. Elite Dangerous, there's going to be a spin-off arena mode that they've announced. And a little game from back in the day called Knights of the Old Republic is being remade.
It's old.
Being remade by a team of fan developers. All right, you know what? I already opened the link knowing that's where we were going.
Of course. There's no way I'm not talking about Knights of the Old Republic.
So I'm going to read the story. I'll skip the unimportant stuff, and I'll let you react. The beloved and loved and beloved and loved BioWare developed... That was a throwback to last episode if you guys missed it. BioWare developed Star Wars The Knights of the Old Republic is being treated to an Unreal Engine 4 remake. The team developing it are adding new missions, worlds, and more. Aperon, I hope I'm saying that right, Aperon, the title of Knight of the Old Republic reboot, is being developed by an indie gaming group called Poem Studios with the help of fans of the Star Wars RPG. So it's fan-made, but it's made by real developers. Don't think this is like, you know, kids who are learning on the go, like I would be if I try to develop a game. These are professionals who are also happen to be fans of the game. They've posted pictures of areas like Endar Spire and Tatooine, and you can see them for yourself by coming to this article at GameSpot.com or really any news outlet. Everyone was talking about this a few days ago. They answer a few questions like, let's see, making a Star Wars game like this, is it legal? They talk about that. They talk about, you know, how much it might cost and all those kind of things. They answer a lot of questions on their website.
So let's if you know anything about it, okay, is it legal?
According to the remake's developers, the game being made is totally fine, but selling it is not. That means that when the remake releases, ta-da, it will be free. Yep.
So that's my question. And I think I know, well, at least I have a good answer to my own question, but why spend this whole time doing this? Especially a whole team, it sounds like. I don't know how many are in the team.
Yeah, it must be doing it in their free time, I'm guessing, yeah.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is there's a couple of things. I think they're doing this because they absolutely love Knights of the Old Republic, and if I was a designer, like if I understood how to do this, this is definitely one of the games that I would attack and be like, yeah, I want to do something with this. This and Jade Empire. But the other thing could be that maybe they want to show off their skills, and maybe see if they get hired on somewhere. Or it may be picked up and funded by a bigger studio or a publisher and say, hey, you guys did a great job with Knights of the Old Republic. How about you make us your own game? You know, or something like that.
Right. Well, even though the game's going to be free, I do want to clarify, they are at some point going to open up the opportunity for people to donate towards the project.
I imagine would
that
donate.
the messaging for that is probably going to revolve around, hey guys, when this comes out, we can't sell it, so we're giving our time and energy and efforts, and probably in many cases their own personal finances, and so they're going to be asking the excited, waiting audience to help out with that. So there will be an opportunity to do that. It's just not, they're not accepting them quite yet. They don't have anything set up for that quite yet.
One last thing I want to add on this is a lot of people were talking about, and if you look at the pictures, everything's in first person, while Knights of the Old Republic is actually a third person game. This game, it's both. You can switch from first person to third person at any point. Oh, nice. So thought that was really cool, and I'm glad I read that, because even though I found first person to be interesting, I still was like, well, you know, Knights of the Old Republic is a third person game. Like, that's like rebooting an Uncharted game and making it first person. It would, for me, it would just change the way I saw the game. So
totally agree.
I'm very, very happy that they're doing this. I hope it turns out really good. It could be a total mess that you never actually see anything from.
You could.
But I really hope they do really complete the game, reboot it, do a great job, and then I will support them. If it's a quality product, I will give them $60. That is a promise.
Well, and as a side effect of some of this, who knows, it might reinvigorate the conversation about a true sequel to those games, that series.
I mean, I will give anything, and I mentioned this in a prior podcast, for a Knights of the Old Republic 3. And I'm holding on, I'm crossing my fingers that EA is going to have that special presentation. I think it's right before E3, but it's like during that E3 excitement week. I'm really hoping that's one of their big announcements, but
okay,
that's off track. Let's get back.
That's
on.
All right. So here's what I did for this next section of game announcements. So there are several games that were announced. We just talked about three, and there's five more. So I took three of those and I sent them out to the community with a little poll. I did this today and basically said, of these games, which one would you like us to discuss? Of course, everyone's always free to go look up these games for themselves to determine if this is something they want to play. But as far as us spending time talking about it, here are the options. Number one, Devil Daggers. It's a first-person shooter, but it has dagger throwing as the main thing you're shooting or throwing, I guess. That's a PC-exclusive game that was just announced. Also, there's a game called Seventh Dragon 3 Code VFD. It's an RPG game coming to the 3DS this summer. It was announced last summer, but now there's finally actual English game trailers and some in-game footage and more details coming out. So there's that one. And the third one is called Shakedown Hawaii. It's an open-world retro adventure. It's a sequel to Retro City Rampage, and it's coming to 3DS. So the results are in. The community has voted, and we have a tie.
Yes.
We have a tie between Shakedown Hawaii and Seventh Dragon 3 Code VFD, which is another horrible name for an RPG, but I digress. So first we'll talk about the Retro City Rampage sequel, and then we will look at Seventh Dragon 3 Code VFD. So we'll talk about both.
Great name.
Does that sound all right to you?
Yeah.
All right. So Retro City Rampage, the developer V-Blank Entertainment, announced this in November as a PS4, Vita, and PC game, and then only recently they announced it's now going to come also to the 3DS. It was set in the 8-bit era, but Shakedown Hawaii is set in more of a 16-bit era, which makes me so excited, because as much as I did love some of the classics on the NES, the Super Nintendo was really a sweet spot for me. Like, I still look back at the Super Nintendo games with so much fondness. I still enjoy them, so knowing that this is going to be more out of that Sega Genesis Super Nintendo type of an era makes me really excited. It features destructible environments and powerful weapons. It's set 30 years after the events of Retro City Rampage, and it follows the player as he comes out of early retirement to rebuild his neglected corporate empire. It was playable at the PlayStation Experience in December, and they've got a bunch of screenshots and trailers you can watch if you check out Shakedown Hawaii. So what are your thoughts on that game? Did you ever play Retro City Rampage? Does that do anything for you at all, this 16-bit action game? All
right, so everybody's expecting my normal response is to say this is a complete crap shit game. I actually was looking at it, and the open world part of it kind of interests me, so I'm not going to crap on the game yet. I did not play Retro City,
because it's not something I'm interested in at all. I was actually going to ask you while you were talking if you played Retro City, so I'm going to ask you, have you played Retro City?
Yeah, not enough to really speak to it, but I am familiar with how that game plays and how it looks, and I like it. But I was definitely not an expert on it, so I can't speak to it, but I liked it. It kind of had that old school action, like they said, 8-bit vibe to it, so it was cool.
Yeah, not my, it doesn't look like my type, but I will definitely check it out.
Yeah. Well, it's coming to 3DS, so I know that it'll be on my radar when it pops up. But very cool. Shakedown Hawaii, for those of you who are 3DS, PS4, or Vita owners, or PC owners, really everyone except for Xbox One owners, as of right now, Shakedown Hawaii is coming your way. All right, let's talk about another horribly named JRPG that's coming, but at least it looks cool, even though the name sounds just awful. All right, Seventh Dragon 3 Code VFD. They just released the first English trailer. Now, this game, it was announced already last year, last summer. But, by the way, it's made by Sega. Mm-hmm. So Sega released the first English trailer just this week. So let me give you some description here. In Seventh Dragon 3, dragons are the colossal vessels of destruction that prey on humanity. Noden's Enterprises, a video game company within the game dedicated to stopping these dragons, has a plan to travel to three different eras to weaken the dragon's power, giving mankind the edge it needs to defeat the true dragons and stand a chance against the most powerful dragon, the Seventh Dragon VFD. It's coming out this summer, and of course they've got trailers and snapshots. I found this on Gamatsu.com, so head over there for more details. What do you think about this game? I know you're into JRPGs, at least starting them. If you don't like to play them all the way through.
No,
but how does this strike you? Are you excited for this one?
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I'm really into the 3DS JRPGs that come out. Not just Fire Emblem, but I enjoy Bravely Default. There's a few I'm missing. I know there's one of them. But anyways, the point is I really enjoy those type of turn-based JRPGs that come out on the 3DS. I would still, again, I'll say it again, I would love to see these type of games come out on an actual console, not a handheld. But
right.
That's just me. But of the three, I'm very, very happy we were able to talk about Seventh Dragon. I was a little nervous that it wasn't going to tie, so I actually cheated and voted.
You did, so but I counted it.
I appreciate you not pissing me off for once, so I appreciate
that. Yeah, I counted
it.
You said your ego is pretty low, so I didn't want to push any buttons. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so pick one of these two. Last two of the game announcements. I'll let you pick, just based on their titles. I won't even give you any description. Just think of these titles and pick one. Either Shyness or Inversus.
Both sound terrible, but I'll go with Shyness.
All right. Inversus, by the way, is a brain-bending arcade shooter for the PS4 and PC coming out in the spring. So I think you picked wisely according to your typical interests.
Did they really just say brain-bending, though?
Brain-bending. That's right.
All
right. Yep, it would have bent your brain, but now you're going to miss it because you didn't pick it.
Yeah,
so.
Don't think I would have played it.
All right. So, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Shyness or Shyness.
It's probably Shyness. This
game looks really cool. I'm glad you picked it because this excites me. It's by a company called Focus Home Interactive.
Mm-hmm.
And they released the first gameplay trailer for this game that was announced last year. Actually, it was kickstarted 2 years ago. And it finally hit its goals and then it's been in development. And they just now released their first gameplay trailer for this game. It's called Shyness or Shyness, The Lightning Kingdom. It's an action RPG from this French developer, Enigami. I guess the publisher must be Focus Home Interactive. The French developer, Enigami. So here's an overview of the game from their website. Shyness is a new action RPG developed by French indie development studio Enigami. In an enchanting yet hostile world where the lands of Mahara have become fragmented, travel with our heroes from the flying city of Mantara to the Adorn Plains and Gromiz Caverns. I gotta read all these weird words. Shyness immerses you in a vast world you can interact with thanks to the skills of your 5 playable characters. Choose to destroy a giant rock blocking your way with pure strength, or use kinetic powers to activate mechanisms that will open a secret door. Face dozens of lethal enemies during your journey, and you'll need to defeat during hyper-dynamic combat. That sounds kind of cool. Mixing magic with combos as well as parries and blocks like a traditional arena fighter. Gain experience through combat, completing quests, and progression through the story. Evolve your characters, learn new skills and spells, and become the hero who unify the civilizations of Mahara. It's due out in 2016.
I watched the trailer while you were reading.
Yeah.
Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
It's got like some like really fast-paced action RPG gameplay. I don't know how generic, you know, like the story and characters will be, but I'm really hoping it's got like, you know, lore and characters and world that we care about. But the actual gameplay looks again, I've never touched it or anything, looks pretty cool.
Now, how would you describe to our listeners the way the visuals look? How would you describe that? Kind of, I don't want to put words in your mouth. How would you describe it?
It looks like an anime-type cartoon.
Yeah.
Which I typically don't like. I don't like anime. I know people are like, anime is so beautiful. Like, Ni No Kuni, a lot of people like Ni No Kuni because of the anime. I hated that part of it, but I did love the game.
It kind of looks anime, but I'm also seeing a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of cel shading style in some of the characters.
It doesn't look like, you know, something you would see straight from an anime movie, but it's definitely got a lot of
The character influence. Design looks really creative, looks really unique. I like it.
I did like that you weren't using, you know, 12-year-old kids that are going to save the world. It looked like there was like animals, like animal humans and stuff like that.
Like humanoid, very cool. So, and by the way, it's spelled like the word shine and then add two S's on the end. That's why I keep saying shyness. It might be pronounced shyness. I don't know.
I'm going to go with shyness.
Yeah. So you guys go check that out. It looks really, really cool from French indie developer Enigami. Hopefully that's coming out this year. Looking forward to seeing that one. All right. Let's move on to some rumors. I'm not going to have you pick one. I'm just going to read the description of three rumors that have been popping up this past week or so, and get your thoughts on them. Maybe there's been additional news that I haven't seen that you know of about each of these. The first one is what I know was your game of the year of 2013. Had to have been, based on the way you talk about it. Knack 2 might have been leaked.
Ooh.
How excited are you? Scale of 1 to 10, real quick.
All right, well, first of all, Knack wasn't that bad. I would give Knack like a 6. I actually beat it, which is surprising.
I did not beat it. I played a lot of it and never beat it.
I beat it. I think I put it on easy and just kind of cruised through it, if there was a level difficulty mode. So I did enjoy Knack. I kind of share the same feelings as P.S. I Love You. I think it's Colin and Greg were both actually saying that they didn't understand why there was going to be a Knack 2. And, you know, they even went into the sales. Knack sold over 1 million units, which is good. It's not bad for the type of game that it is. But you also have to consider...
Yeah, but for a launch game, that's not that important.
That's what I'm saying, and that's what they said. Knack came out on launch. Knack 2 is not going to sell millions of copies. It's just not. I think you'll get a few people that were big fanboys of the first one, and then you'll get somebody maybe like me, and maybe my story will change when I start to see more of Knack 2. But I'm thinking with all the games that are coming out, I'm not going to buy it on launch like I did Knack. I would maybe pay $10 for it on PSN.
Here's how the leak happened. A LinkedIn profile for Mindy Liang, which was first discovered by NeoGAF, states that she animated 3D character motions and cutscenes for Knack 2 on the PS4. So it was on her LinkedIn profile and someone spotted it. The listing has since been scrubbed clean of any details on Knack 2, but it should be noticed. I'm sorry, it should be noted that just because it was mentioned on a CV does not guarantee it's being developed. Games are habitually and frequently prototyped, but their green light for release is never certain. So as of yet, Sony has not announced that it's working on a new Knack. To me, I'm not that surprised by it. I could see them totally doing it. I could also see them doing one that doesn't really have a huge budget behind it. So I don't necessarily expect there to be that much of an improvement on it, unfortunately. It was a pretty generic platformer. It did look pretty good. Some of the things they did with the particle effects, with all the little pieces that made up your character, were pretty impressive at times. Mm-hmm. It looked pretty neat at times. But when it comes down to it, it was a pretty bland, pretty limiting action platformer. And it was a little overly hard at times. If you think about their target audience, some of those battles were really challenging, and parts of it were so easy. So this, the, to me, at least, the difficulty would spike and then plummet throughout that game. So I didn't think it was a very consistent game, and I thought it was just okay. I'm with you. Six is probably about right, maybe five. It was all right.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that they could really improve on is not only the gameplay, you know, maybe a little less repetitive, but also give us a story to care about. I was really hoping that Knack would have like a, you know, a kind of a cute but a story I would care about, characters I'd care about, and they really failed at that. I found most of the characters to be absolutely annoying. And for everything just to be bland. I mean, even the level designs were bland.
They have a major story reveal that I was like, okay. Like, I didn't, I guess I just didn't really pay attention to it. And I'm a story guy, and that just didn't, it didn't really do it for me. So
maybe we'll have a spoiler cast on Knack.
Oh, can't wait.
I'm sure we'll get a lot of listeners on that one.
Next rumor. Everybody's Gone to the Rapture developer, The Chinese Room, is set to announce its next game sometime in the next couple of weeks, according to what the studio posted on Twitter. They notes that the game is not signed to a publisher, and unlike Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, is signed to Sony. So they're going to own their own IP, and they can be pretty open about their development as they move along. So they're excited to talk more about that. Not really much to talk about there, but just... Hey,
well, I mean, the only thing I would add is that I really, really liked Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. I liked it way more than I liked Firewatch so far, and it's because they actually gave you kind of a clue where you're walking. I didn't feel lost most of the time, even though they gave you a huge open area to walk, and they had so many, and I think you would like this game, they had so many interesting, like, interactions between, I'm gonna say characters, but you don't actually see characters, but just, you would go from house to house, building to building, and you would explore, and then you'd come across these lights, and you'd go into the room where the lights are, and it would be, the lights would be like voices talking, and they were, you know, were people at once. And the conversations that they would have, and the story that starts to open up as you go through, very, very well done.
Cool. All right. Well, everybody's Gone to the Rapture. It got a lot of great reviews. I haven't played it yet. I want to. And so, yeah, for those of you who enjoyed that, be on the lookout for The Chinese Room's next game announcement.
Yeah, I'm excited.
All right, last
about
rumor.
That.
Tell me what you think about this, because this is a game you're excited about.
Yeah.
Is it possible that the Division DLC will arrive as a timed exclusive? Have you heard anything about that?
I heard it's for 30 days. I thought it was confirmed, or is this still like a rumor?
Well, now it's being confirmed. So
okay.
It was a rumor, but the confirmation comes from a reliable source that is still not necessarily the developers or publisher themselves. It's coming from GameStop. So the retailer's promotional video for the upcoming game revealed that Ubisoft will release downloadable content for the shooter as a timed Microsoft exclusive. Following a period of 30 days, like you said, it will make its way to the PS4 and PC versions of the game. So GameStop just kind of confirmed what I think was already talked about, and yet this is just kind of putting a more definitive, yep, this is happening on that, what was formerly a rumor.
Now,
even though it's not from Ubisoft themselves, you can feel pretty confident.
Question, and this is me doing a little bit of comparison to Destiny. Destiny on the PS4 not only got things, well, I don't know if they got anything early, but they got certain things that Microsoft Xbox One gamers did not get for full year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if the same thing was going to happen here, if there was going to be any like exclusive parts of the DLC that would come out on Xbox consoles and maybe last for a year, or if it's just straight up everything's the exact same, it's just coming out 30 days earlier.
From what I can see, and from everything that's been communicated, there's not going to be anything you can experience on one platform you can't on the other. I don't know that for sure,
yeah,
but I have not seen anything specific.
I wasn't very clear, but what I was trying to say is Sony has, the PS4 has, like, strikes that you could only play on the PS4.
I meant in regards to DLC.
Yeah.
I don't know of anything.
And I know they had a revolver, one of the legendary revolvers. Forgot the name of it. I actually purchased it on the Xbox One once it became available. That was also part of the PS4 for over a year, and then eventually came over to the Xbox One version of Destiny. So I was wondering if Ubisoft was going to do the same thing with The Division, but it sounds like it's more like, all right, everything's the exact same, it's just 30 days later, PS4 gets it.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed by this. I know it seems kind of stupid, but this is a game I'm really excited about. And because most of my friends play on the PlayStation 4 now, I went ahead and pre-ordered it digital on the PlayStation 4. I got the $60 version. I didn't buy the season pass. And to be honest with you, if this would have been announced earlier, I would have pre-ordered on the Xbox One. Because I would want the DLC early. I mean, if it's a game I'm committed to playing, like Destiny, I put a lot of hours into Destiny, then I would want it on the Xbox One. So.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense that you'd be a little disappointed by it, but it's at least you know you're not going to be missing out on any.
If they would have announced this was a year, I would have flipped my damn lid and I would have been calling Sony right away and been like, "All right, you need to give me my money back."
Or hey, at least, Sony, listen to me, Sony.
You listen here, Kaz.
Oh man, he would have some one-liners for you.
Kaz would be nice to me. He knows I support him.
Oh man. All right, so pick one of these. Here we go. We're back to picking some news headlines here.
Woohoo!
Do you want to hear more about Fallout 4 expansions that have recently been detailed? Do you want to hear about Just Cause 3 DLC that was just announced? Or would you like to hear about some of the Zelda Twilight Princess HD details? Some of the differences and things that have been recently talked about.
All right, so let's talk about a game I actually care about, and that would be Zelda Twilight Princess.
You hate Fallout 4 and Just Cause 3? Why do you hate them so much?
Well, hate's a strong word, Tim.
Sorry, everybody. I apologize couldn't for Derek's attitude.
I couldn't get into Fallout 4. I'm not saying I won't eventually. Hopefully I will, but I couldn't. And Just Cause 3, I bought it cheap on PC and played, I think, 32.44659 seconds and turned it off.
So like 5 or 6 times as long as you've played Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, give or take.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
That was a zinger right there. Zing!
Hey, so Fallout 4 expansions and Just Cause 3 DLC, those were pretty big pieces of news. Most of you, you know, you frequent news outlet sites, and so go ahead and check those out.
I will. Let's just say this real quick. If you're interested in Fallout 4's expansions, which for me right now, personally, no, I'm not, they're $30. Go buy them. Because in a little bit, in about a week and a half, I think March 1st, it's going to go to 50.
So oh, it's kinda, not up to 50 yet?
No. So, like Dying Light originally announced their season pass at 20, and then when they realized, whoa, we're going to do this huge, huge expansion, they upped the price to 30. Fallout's doing the exact same thing. They announced a pre-order of $30, and now I think they're realizing they have $50 worth of content, and now they're upping the price. But
there you go.
Props to them. Props to Bethesda. This is them doing something again. I respect. They give you a heads up, and they say, hey, look, in a week and a half, 2 weeks, this price is going to bump up $20. So if you're interested, go buy it now. Granted, that's a great way to sell people. You know, I saw several people go, well, I better go buy it now that hadn't bought it already.
No, it's a good marketing ploy. That's what I was.
It's 100% a ploy, but
yeah,
at least they announced it.
No, I think it's a nice way to do it. So it's going to be $50 here pretty shortly. I thought it already was. So if you didn't already have the season pass, go grab it now if you're planning on getting it because it's about to go up. All right, let's talk about Zelda. Zelda the Twilight Princess HD. One of the better Zelda games that often gets a lot of hate, but I really like Twilight Princess. So, according to an article on GameSpot, Nintendo has released a new gameplay trailer for The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD, the upcoming remaster of the Wii and GameCube classic. Yeah, that's coming for the Wii U. I think it's coming next month, right?
Yeah, March 4th.
So the 5-minute video showcases some of the new features being added to the game for its re-release. Among these are a map display and inventory management on the Wii U gamepad controller, the ability to play exclusively on the gamepad, and Miiverse stamps, which I don't know much about that. I'm not a Wii U owner.
I don't care about that.
Okay. What are Miiverse stamps?
I think those are like...
the collectibles or something?
Yeah, I was going to say it might be kind of their trophy thing, and I know I'm going to get called out for this. If Bobby and Bobby and, why am I drawing a blank on
or
his
Frank.
Name? Yeah, Frank, who yells at me all the time.
Yeah.
If,
or Dan. There's several Wii U players that listen, yeah.
Yeah, if you guys know what it is, I have no interest in what they are. I've never looked into them, so please feel free to comment or write us or just yell at me.
Yeah, do that.
Go ahead.
They'll do
make
all
a video.
Things.
Just make a yelling video towards me.
Yeah, we'll put that audio right in.
How the hell do
here.
I not know this?
Yeah, we'll put that audio right in.
Absolutely.
All right, so those looking for an extra challenge can play the Hero Mode, which kind of reminds me of the Master Quest from Ocarina of Time when they redid that game, in which Link takes double damage and no hearts are dropped. Sounds pretty rough. As previously detailed...
you can use Ganondorf to make things even more difficult if you buy the amiibo.
Wait, what?
If you buy Ganondorf's amiibo, and then you, while you're playing the game, you basically... slide the amiibo over the controller, it makes the game more difficult.
That's cool. That's very cool.
And then when you die, it resets, so you have to then use the Ganondorf amiibo again.
Okay.
So that's, which is pretty cool, because if you decide to do it and then you're like, oh damn, this game's way too hard doing that, when you die, it resets, so you're okay. You don't have to worry about it. So for those hardcore gamers, they can put it on the most difficult level, difficulty level, and then they can use the Ganon amiibo to even make it more difficult.
Awesome. That sounds great. Well, some of these details were already revealed, but as a recap for those of you who maybe forgot or haven't heard, the limited edition, of course, comes with the packaged-in Wolf Link amiibo, which I believe will also be available separately, but it unlocks a new dungeon called the Cave of Shadows. The dungeon tasks players with defeating waves of tactically difficult enemies, such as the ever-reviving Shadow Beasts from the Twilight Realm. The game will support...
That would be the third amiibo I'm getting. Again, I cut you off thinking you were going to pause.
That's okay. So that's the what now?
So, yeah, that was the third amiibo that I was going to... that I was talking about that I would be getting soon. I ordered the game with the amiibo.
Yeah, and that was a good decision that you made there.
Yeah, because it's unlocking, and through Best Buy, I basically got the amiibo for free because I'm only paying $48 for the game. And the game and the amiibo is $60 at, like, GameStop, Walmart, and all them stores.
Got extra content in the game now, too, for you. So that's cool.
Yeah.
The game will support other Legend of Zelda's amiibos, like you just talked about, from Smash Brothers, Toon Link, Zelda, Ganondorf, etc. Some of these, such as Link and Toon Link, can be used to replenish arrows. Zelda and Sheik, meanwhile, can restore health. Progress saved to the amiibo from Twilight Princess will carry over in some way to the upcoming Legend of Zelda game on the Wii U, but further details have not yet been announced. This game is coming out on March 4th. That's like a week and a half.
I'm really excited because I haven't completed a lot of Zelda games. This is one of them I haven't. Obviously, I only completed one. This is the reason why I didn't really want to play A Link to the Past or even Ocarina of Time. Mm-hmm. It's because I really want to play this one, so I plan on... My goal is to beat this one.
Make a self-prediction here. Let me hear it. Do you honestly think... Let's just have a moment of real introspection here. Will you complete this game? Realistically, will you get to the end of Twilight Princess and win?
Okay, so with the way I work...
That sounds like a no.
It's a yes, but I have to give you some context. Sorry, I know some people don't like my stories, but they need to get the hell over it.
No, that's what makes the show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the star, I'm your boss, and you're just the, I don't even know, without insulting you.
All right, so
you.
Please, regale us with your insight into how you will
okay,
or possibly
so this
will
is
not
how
finish
I do some
yeah.
of the games that I buy. It sounds like I don't complete a lot of games. I actually complete a lot of games. But the way I do a lot of it is because I buy so many games, and this is why I was hesitant to say, oh yeah, I'm going to beat it right away. I've got Fire Emblem coming out. Fire Emblem is really three games in one, because I got the special edition, which we've
so
talked
big.
About. There's three games there. You're talking, if I really, and I already said I'm not going to finish that one. It's just not going to happen. But you're talking anywhere from 80 to 120 hours I could put into Fire Emblem if I wanted to beat all three of them. And then you have Zelda coming out on March 4th, which I really am truly excited. And then March 8th, you have The Division. So when am I going to have time to beat Zelda right away? I'm not. So my realistic thought process here is I'm going to pop it in, I'm going to enjoy it in the beginning, and then I'm going to be like, okay, I'll come back to this like I did Wind Waker. And I did. It took me 2 years, but I came back to Wind Waker, and I beat that boy. And I think I'll do the same thing with Twilight Princess. Well, I was going to say a different word, so I changed it to boy. But I plan on doing the same thing. Hopefully it won't be 2 years. Hopefully it will be sometime this year. I would love to beat this and A Link to the Past.
I'm going to grab that little audio clip of you saying, and I beat that boy, and I'm going to use that in ways that you can't even imagine.
I don't even think the alternative would have been better if I would have said what I was actually going to say, which I think everybody knows.
No, no regrets, man. Stick with it. That was good.
Yeah, I like beating boys. That's so awkward. Thanks, Tim. I didn't even notice that sounded that bad.
Grabbing that sound clip, too. This is going to be good. All right.
So when I'm in, like, court, you know, and they're about ready to send me to prison for life, they're going to find evidence of me talking about beating boys. That's great.
Did you or did you not? It's going to be like that reporter question earlier. Like, is it true that you like beating boys? Like, well, no. No, I...
And then Tim comes and walks by and plays the audio clip. I beat that boy.
Yeah, it's not going to look good for you. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah, it's not going to look good. All right. Pick one of these. PlayStation VR coming this fall? Question mark. The Nintendo account, new multi-platform account system. There's some talk about that. Or do you want to hear about the Xbox One system update that's hitting, I think, like right now?
I actually want to talk about a Nintendo account.
All right, let's have a look-see. This is an article that I found on Polygon. I'm sure other outlets are talking about it, but hey, there's only so many websites I can surf in a given day. So Polygon has a... Yeah, no, I got to actually work sometimes. They have an article that says, Nintendo opens a registration for new Nintendo account, the successor to Nintendo Network ID. It's now live. Registration for Nintendo's new multi-platform account system, known simply as a Nintendo account, is now live.
I love you, Nintendo. Just know that.
I know. Nintendo account. It's at accounts.nintendo.com. Nintendo fans can now register for a Nintendo account using their Nintendo Network ID, Facebook, Google+, or Twitter accounts. That's kind of unique, I think. I don't think they've connected to social media before, have they? Or did I miss it?
I don't believe so. I actually already signed up for this. But I wanted you to go through it just because, first of all, I want our listeners to know about it, but I also...
Wait, when did you sign up for it? Today?
I went on Slick Deals yesterday, and they were talking about how you could do this, and so I went ahead and signed up, but I wanted to know... I didn't understand fully what I was doing. I just created an account and linked it to, I think, my Gmail, and I really wanted to understand what the heck I was doing.
Here's what Nintendo said about it. Signing up for it is really easy and straightforward. As you just said, it probably didn't take you too long. But there's not really much you can do with the account service just yet. Nintendo says the account can be used with its upcoming rewards program. That sounds cool.
That's what
My Nintendo... It's called My Nintendo, and its first smart device application, Miitomo, which we talked about a few episodes ago about their first mobile app or game, whatever it's going to be that's coming out called Miitomo, does not at all interest me, but it might be our first taste of what the Nintendo account setup's going to be. So now I'm a little more interested in Miitomo just to figure out how does this account thing work, not because the game or app itself sounds interesting. That's scheduled to launch in March, so we should have more ideas in the coming weeks. They are different from Nintendo Network IDs, which are used primarily for the Wii U and Nintendo 3DS. And you will need a Nintendo account to pre-register for Miitomo. Let's see if there's anything else here you need. It's live right now, so go check it out. That's pretty much it. That's the news. So a couple of things I want to ask you. And you already answered the first one. Number one, are you going to register? The answer is yes, because I already did.
Yep.
Let me ask you this. Do you think this is going to be an improvement over what the Nintendo Network was? Or do you think we're just looking at a slightly different named, same type of online service from Nintendo? I mean, are they really turning the page with online here?
I think what I'm hoping this will be is something to link every one of your devices. Kind of like the PlayStation Network, and if you go there, I have my Vita, my PS4, my PS3 is all tied to my one account. And so if I go through like my library, and this is online, not in my system, not on my PS4 or anything, I can see everything I've purchased, everything I own. I can modify my account, all that. And this is what I think Nintendo's trying to do. They destroyed their reward system before because they didn't have it set up that way. Like, I still don't have my 3DSs linked to my Wii U, and, like, I'm not all synced together, basically.
I gotcha.
And yeah. I think that's what they're trying to do here. They're trying to link you with all your Facebooks, all your accounts like that, and also they're eventually going to basically link you with your NX, your Wii U, your Wii, all that. And I think
doesn't
that
would
be
like
great.
Doesn't seem like they're... I mean, I don't want to be negative about this, because I do love Nintendo, but doesn't this seem like they're, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 years behind on this?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's not surprising to you.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this
I'm
then.
Just at least happy
Why not
doing
stick
it.
With Nintendo Network? As spotty as it was, and the friend codes are really a bad system, why not figure out ways to improve their infrastructure that's already in place? You've got people registered. You've already got all these things set up. Why create something new instead of just taking Nintendo Network to the next level?
Because Nintendo. I mean,
that's all you need to say.
That's all you have to say. It's just
reality. So I'm just wondering, the reason I ask that, and in my mind I've got a couple of possible answers. One of them is just they're turning the page, and this whole NX thing, everything we're going to learn about Nintendo this year, it should be an exciting year for Nintendo, or a terrifying one, depending on what happens. But everything that they're going to be changing, maybe they just want to start fresh. Everything from their online system to the actual system itself, the NX.
Yeah.
That might be a combo of console and handheld. Who knows? But it sounds like they might be hitting the reset button on everything they've been doing for the last, really, 12, 13 years. So yeah, who knows? It could be anything. Or it could just be that Nintendo Network just was not capable of doing the things that they knew they needed to do in order to grow their online presence and to give people an online experience in terms of their console. Maybe they were like, listen, this Nintendo Network structure that we've got set up will not be able to do what we need to do if we want to stay relevant at all in this space.
Yeah, I mean, because the Wii U, while it does have online play, that's not why most people buy a Wii U. They're not like, yeah, I can't wait to buy a Wii U to play The Division with my friends. You know, it's more of a solo or a couch co-op system. So maybe the service that they had set up wasn't equipped to handle everything, and so, like you said, they needed to do a reboot, a refresh. They needed to figure out ways to link everything so everything becomes one. And I think they would have to rehaul everything to do that. So I think they just wanted to just start over fresh. It's been over a year since they destroyed their reward system and all that. So I knew this was coming. I'm glad it's here. Actually, while you were reading about it more, I was finishing linking my account. So now I'm linked to Facebook.
There you go.
Gmail, and I didn't do Twitter because I don't use Twitter much.
All right, here we go. Last set of news items. So I'm just gonna read kind of the descriptions of each. None of these are really particularly big stories.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's one that jumps out at you that you want to talk about, you know, pick one or two. That's fine. But let me just read them each to you, and then we can go back and talk about them. First of all, the lead writer from Mass Effect Andromeda has left BioWare to join the Destiny development team. Chrono Trigger, their soundtrack tribute album, is being put together by over 200 musicians and artists. That's pretty exciting to me, since Chrono Trigger is probably my favorite game of all time. It's either one or two, depending on what day you ask me. Rise of the Tomb Raider won the Writers Guild Award for Best Writing, and you'd be surprised, I think, of some of the games that it won over for 2015. Larger player counts in Rocket League matches, ? The developers considering it, they're talking about it. You know, for certain types of matches beyond the 4-on-4 chaos mode, are they talking about it? And then what would have to happen for them to move forward with that?
Now, did you type that sentence out correctly? You put larger player counts in Rocket League matches. Was it really supposed to be huger player counts in Rocket League matches?
Oh, yeah. You know, let me change that.
Yeah.
Hang on, give me a second. Sorry, everybody. I'm going to have to write huger.
Huger.
There, how's that look? Yeah. Does that look better?
Hug-er?
Yeah. Isn't it huge? How do you spell huger? Give me. Go ahead and Google it.
It's not a word, so.
All right.
And if it is, I don't know what I'm doing.
do it.
I know. It looks like Hugger now. Even with 1G, it looks like Hugger. Assassin's Creed franchise, their schedule plans. Some additional news in addition to them saying, yep, we're not making a mainline brand new Assassin's Creed game this year. There's another little bit of news that's come out about that. So any of these that you want to talk about?
I'm going to go with huger player count in Rocket League. Although there are several there that interest me, that's the one I want to know about because I don't know about it.
Yeah, well, I will say for the Assassin's Creed one, I do believe the details there, just to sum up, is basically there's no guarantee this is going to be annualized when it does come back. So it's starting to sound like not only is Assassin's Creed taking a year off, that might be the pattern it looks at long term, which I think you said several weeks ago, they need to take longer than, you know, 12 months between each game when they do come back. So it sounds like that's the way they heard that episode, and they're going to take your advice.
Of course. People listen to me.
Do you enjoy Rocket League, but you are looking to play with more people at the same time?
Are you selling this to me?
A little bit. Developer Psyonix has announced that it's open to the idea of boosting the max player count to more than 8. The current cap is in the 4v4 Chaos Unranked mode. This would likely only happen if bigger arenas are released. This is the Psyonix VP, Jeremy Dunham, says, we've experimented with larger player counts, but that's just too crazy. This is something that he talked with Major Nelson about on his latest podcast.
Hmm.
Maybe one day we'll revisit it if we ever decide to go with bigger stadiums, but for now, more than 4v4, we think, takes a little bit away from the enjoyment of the game, and it gets too crazy. I mean, 4v4, this is me talking, not Jeremy Dunham, the 4v4 is already called Chaos Mode for a reason. I was just playing some of that tonight with Jesse and a few others and Nate, and it's called Chaos for a reason. It's hard to do anything of meaning in those games because you're getting knocked around like crazy.
I agree. Obviously, I agree because I'm not a big fan of Chaos Mode. But it's also because all the arenas are the same size except for Wasteland. Wasteland's clearly wider.
Isn't Colosseum bigger? It seems bigger.
It feels
the one
same
where
that
blows
me.
The trumpets, you know?
Yeah, I feel like
it might be the same.
I feel like Wasteland's the only one that you can definitely tell it's wider. And it's got the slants down.
Let's say this. Let's say that they create arenas that are significantly bigger than what they've got so far, and they introduce a 5-on-5 or bigger mode. Would you be interested in that, or would you only try it because it's there and you're curious?
I would try it, but I don't think it would go beyond that. I'm still one of those people, and I don't know if we talked about this just you and me, or we talked about it on the podcast. I think it was just you and me having a Rocket League chat. But I would really like for them to experiment with, like, multiple teams. Like, instead of just doing blue versus orange, have a pretty big circular arena and put blue versus orange versus green versus red. And then on each team, maybe 2 maximum or 3 or something like that. And there's 1 ball, 4 goals, and it's complete chaos. But the arena would have to be huge. I would like to see craziness like that.
And not only huge, but it would have to be designed in a way that really allows for 4 teams to have fun and develop strategy. And I mean, think about a board game like a Chinese checkers.
Well, in a mode like that, it would be less about strategy and more about chaos and just fun.
Okay.
Like craziness. But I think it would be just something cool that you'd do on the side. I wouldn't announce Rocket League 2, and our huge change is 4 teams at the same time. Like, that's not going to be a selling point.
Yeah.
I just think it would be interesting to try, just like I think adding more players is interesting. But at the same time, I've played 4v4. It's not fun. It's just not that fun. But I think it could be fun if the arenas were bigger.
Yeah. Well, the reason I brought up the old board game Chinese Checkers or maybe something like Sorry or Trouble or any of those 4-player games, when it's designed in a way that each team involved, and there's a reason that 4 is the typical number, that's because there's just something even about that. If you're going to go more than 1-on-1, 4 is that sweet spot. And so I think they do have possibility. If they're going to have multiple teams, that could be a really cool one. Whether it's a big giant cube and each corner, like the very corner of each side, or maybe right in the middle of each sidewall, there's a goal. That could be really, really fun. I could see that being really successful. But what they're doing right now already with Rocket Labs is they're experimenting. So any of you who play Rocket League on the PS4 right now, They currently have three maps available in a playlist called Rocket Labs. I think that will probably come to Xbox One as well, but for right now, it's only on PS4 and PC, where you can try out their experimental maps that they plan on rolling out outside of those playlists in the near future. So anyway, yeah, some cool stuff with Psyonix. I love the way that they're willing to test things out and try stuff. I love that they are always rolling out new kind of cars and new paints and new additional aesthetic things. And they upgraded the season like we talked about a few weeks ago to a new type of rankings and division structure. And I just like the way that they're taking care of this game. I mean, it's clearly super important to them, and they really care about their fans and doing the things that their fans and their players want to see. I love seeing that. A lot of times, if someone has a runaway hit like this, they just kind of set it and forget it. But I love seeing that they are constantly evolving the game and growing it, and they're not afraid to experiment. So kudos again to Psyonix, and yeah, we'll see what happens with huger player counts, possibly. All right. Let me just mention real quick, I know you didn't pick it. Rise of the Tomb Raider won the Writers Guild top honor for video game writing.
Mm-hmm.
And the games that it won against are pretty significant. Assassin's Creed Syndicate was one that was a favorite to win. Great writing. Not necessarily the best story, but the writing and the dialogue is some of the best that I've seen in that series yet. I'm not saying the story is the best, but the writing is really, really good. The Witcher 3, of course, my personal favorite. I can't think of a game, at least not a mainstream game, that has had writing of that high quality, that consistently, with that much depth. Witcher 3's got some great writing. And then a game that many people hail that of having great writing that I have not played, and that is Pillars of Eternity. But there are several other games that were being nominated, and yet Rise of the Tomb Raider won that Writers Guild Award. So just something worth mentioning that to me gives a little more credence to what's about to be my next game experience in Rise of the Tomb Raider. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy that game as much as I did, and I'd like to play it again. You know what's funny is I hear people compliment Pillars of Eternity all the time, and I own that game, and I have yet to even really play it. I really think I should find time for it, because this is not the first time I've heard several compliments about how great that game is and how it's one of the best games some people have ever played.
Yep. All right, cool. We covered a ton of news, a lot of game announcements. Looking for feedback from you guys, though. So if you guys have any additional thoughts, any ways that you'd like to hear us cover things or discuss things, please send us a note at fathersofthegrind@gmail.com. We're always interested in your feedback. At least I am. I don't know if Derek wants to hear it, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, I can predict most of the feedback.
Yeah?
Let Tim talk. Derek, shut up.
That's just not our show. It's not going to work. It will not work. All right, Derek, you are...
Shut up, Derek.
You are surprisingly good at guessing game ratings. I'm awful at this kind of thing. But like you said, you track scores and reviews. You're always kind of looking around the internet for different major outlets and maybe even smaller outlets and user reactions to games as they come out. So, two big releases this week. I wanted to get your prediction on how they're being reviewed so far. These might not be permanent, but what? What were we going
to
say?
If I would have known you wanted me to guess, I wouldn't have looked.
Oh, you already looked?
Yeah, I didn't know.
That's okay.
I already had a general idea, but I was curious to see what they had settled on. Because I checked, I'll just say the names of the game. I checked Street Fighter V and Fire Emblem Fates, I believe, on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
I know I was checking Street Fighter V on Tuesday. I think Fire Emblem went up on Wednesday.
Yeah, sounds right. That sounds right.
So I was checking both of them on Wednesday, and I had a general idea where they were, but I wanted to actually, when I started reading ahead, I was like, oh, I'd like to see where they settled at.
Yeah, well, that's okay. So we don't have to make it, not everything has to be a guessing or picking game, but we'll just let all our listeners know. Street Fighter V right now, this is worth talking about. The average,
I was gonna say, I want to talk about this.
Yeah, the average critic Metascore right now on the PS4 is 81, and on PC it's 79. So it's right in that 80 range, which to me, if I see that, I'm considering a game, that's a really big encouragement to me. If you see something above, really above a 60, I might like it a lot. Above 70, I will probably like it. Above an 80, it's like, hey, I need to look at this game. You know, that's kind of... I mean, when I look at those averages, when you get to 80, you're starting to look pretty impressive. So, but the thing that I wanted to point out, and I know it's Metacritic users, and users like to do either tens or zeros and nothing in between, but the average user score is remarkably low at a 3.5. that's not that surprising, but of 511 ratings, why, that means that there are lots and lots of zeros, a lot of anger about this. So give me your overall impressions. What have you been hearing and reading about the reactions to Street Fighter V?
All right, so I own the game. This game is a better than an 80 when it comes to actual gameplay, graphics, just... It's Street Fighter. If you've played Street Fighter and you like Street Fighter, Street Fighter V's no different. You're going to love it. So why an 80 and not like a 95 or something like that? It's simple. Content. It's lacking it. When I first logged in, because, again, this is a Street Fighter game and I'm a fan of the franchise, I didn't do much research. I was like, oh, Street Fighter V's coming out? I'll just buy it on PC. It's $30. Done. And I didn't look into the game at all. Because I kind of wanted just to play it and see what it had. So when I first logged into it, and I could be wrong because I have not played it a lot, I believe there's 16 characters.
Okay.
So that was a huge disappointment for me.
How many are typically on the Street Fighter roster? It's been years since I've played.
I mean, like Super Ultra Capcom Street Fighter 5.643 is probably going to end up with like 40 or 50 characters.
Like, do you remember offhand, like Street Fighter 4? What was their roster like?
Street Fighter 4 started out with like 20 something and then finished, or I would say in the high 30s.
Okay.
Even Mortal Kombat X kind of disappointed me too, because it didn't start out at a really high number. It wasn't 16. But, and again, I'm just doing this off memory. Feel free to call me out. Do it nicely, because I'm telling you to call me out. But I think Mortal Kombat was in the 20s, like low 20s. And I was shocked by that, because I was like, you have all these characters. Same thing with Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Street Fighter could just re-release all the characters we've seen. No new ones. And they could have probably over 50 characters.
Yeah, and some interesting ones, too. Some good ones, yeah.
Yeah, and I got to play... one match with a new character. They have a lot of really interesting characters, new ones too. So the number of characters is a bit of a disappointment, but I'm going to go into that in a second.
Buckle up.
That's one point. Yeah. The other thing is there's not a lot of modes. I went into the story mode and I played through Ryu's story, and I think I fought three or four matches, and it was over. I don't know if maybe on harder difficulties you actually fight a boss.
Three fights?
Like three or four fights. I don't even remember.
So you're not picking a character and then fighting against everybody and then the final four Street Fighter bosses and then you get an ending? That's not how it works now?
Not from what I'm seeing so far. And again, I know we got some buddies out there that have played it way more than me.
Uh-huh.
They may be able to say, hey, Derek, you were playing on a lower difficulty level, and that's why. But I do know in March they are going to release, I believe, it's weird, I think it's a story mode.
What?
So I think that's where they're investing all their time and money, is to put it into an actual, like, Mortal Kombat X type story mode.
That's what I've been reading about. I didn't realize that they totally don't have a story mode outside of a little three fight thing.
Yeah, it's a little odd. And then they don't have an arcade mode.
Oh, come on.
Which is weird. Yeah. They have a survival mode, which I heard from JP on our JP Thorne from our Platinum Achievements group. And by the way, if we have any listeners who are really, they're really cool and they're ever interested in joining the Platinum Achievements group, it's a private group. Just message us. And if you're cool, we'll add you. If you're annoying, we'll boot you.
Yeah, it's a great community that you got there. Yeah.
Yeah. So JP, he mentioned that he liked the survival mode. He thought it was really cool. So there's still a good amount of modes. They're just missing a lot of basic ones. Like, the story mode was weird. The lack of an arcade mode is weird. They do at least have training mode. They have versus. They have online. So they have all that.
Let me ask you this sum-up question about Street Fighter V. Is it, right now, as it stands, is it a $60 game right now?
No, and that's why I said it's an 80, but it's not really an 80. When the actual entire game comes out, and I know people are going to go, well, Derek, how do you know the story mode's going to be good? I don't give a shit if the story mode's going to be good. If they release all these characters and then they have a halfway decent story mode, you're talking about a 90-plus game, and it's worth $60. Now, okay. That's the point I was driving at, and I know I was taking forever, and I apologize to you, Tim. But basically, they're lacking in modes, they're lacking in characters. And I noticed that they were selling a season pass, so I asked the question, do I need to buy the season pass to get the additional characters?
Right.
Or, when they release these characters down the road, I think they're starting in March with some characters, can I buy them in-game, like in-game currency? And the answer is, yes, you can buy them in-game using in-game currency.
Well, that's
cool.
You
do not need the season pass.
I like that.
So then you ask the question, well, why do you have a $30 season pass? That's for people that do not want to, I guess you could say, grind.
Oh? And,
yeah, I threw that in there. Father's on the grind. They don't want to grind, and they just want access to everything right away. Because I imagine that to buy a character is probably going to take a good amount of in-game currency. So the good news from this, and this is what I'm trying to get at, is that all the DLC is free. The season pass is just for people who don't want to grind. So you can earn everything in-game. I 100% love this. Like, when I heard that, I no longer felt like $60 was a bad price.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh, okay, so they're basically releasing the game, allowing you to get good at it, play it, enjoy it online. You can even enjoy some of the single-player content, you know, training, all that stuff. And then you can build up this in-game bank, and then when all the DLC starts to release, you can just start purchasing it. And
did you just get into a sleeping bag or something? That's what that sounded like just now.
I was adjusting.
Okay. Yeah, sounded like, you know, we're out in the tent, we're camping, you just climb into your sleeping bag, and you're like...
Well, I'm currently, because of everything that's going on with my house, we're cleaning stuff out, I'm actually laying on a floor right now.
Oh,
I do not have a computer desk or anything right now, so...
Okay.
If you hear me adjusting, I apologize. But
no, it's all right. I didn't mean to call you out, but that's what it sounded like to me. It sounded like the canvas of a tent up against, like, a sleeping bag as you're trying to get comfortable... And everyone's like, stop moving, shut up, we're trying to sleep.
Yeah, you might hear a lot of moving. But so my point is, and I'll swing back around to answer all your questions to close it out. Is it worth $60? Right now, no. If you know that the DLC's coming and you plan on purchasing it with in-game currency by actually playing the game, it is worth $60. It is a phenomenal game. It plays great. It looks great. It has great characters. I believe it's going to have a solid story mode coming out that's free as well. You're not paying for it. So it's worth the $60. I think the reviews would be higher. I saw multiple reviews that were 50s, 60s, 70s out of 100, obviously. And the main thing that they said, even one of them that was a 50, which is a bad score, the guy's intro to it says, this is the best fighting game I've ever played. Who the hell says this is the best fighting game you've ever played and then gives it a 50?
Yeah,
he's been out of shape over the fact that there's no content or lack of content. So as for me, that's no reason to give a game a 50. I would still give it in the high 80s, and then once all the content comes out, I would then re-review it and give it probably in the 90s.
Well, from the outside looking in, I'm going to go ahead and call out Capcom as having a horrible strategy with Street Fighter V. I think this is a ridiculous way to release a game, to say, hey, here's our base game, and then they release the story mode that everyone is going to be knocking it for not including the first time around. They're going to release that, but no one really knows if it's going to be good yet. But when they get the game out of the box for $60, even if you have to delay it to March, you got to delay it to June, whatever
that's
the date is that you can include everything.
Weird.
I don't understand why Capcom decided this is the date we're sticking to it. Delay that business and get it out when it's ready. I mean, that's just frustrating to me as some, even from the outside looking in, as I've talked about last week, fighting games are not my, you know, my strong point. But I do like the Street Fighter franchise. I've enjoyed many of their games in the past. And this is one that if I'm going to play a fighting game, this is the one that's most likely to pop up on one of my systems. Like, all right, I'll give it a go. I'll download it. I'll try it. No, I'm not interested at all right now because it feels like an empty game right now.
All right. Now that you can get off your soapbox.
I'm done.
I think you would like the game. I do agree with you that I didn't understand because I think the story mode, and if I'm wrong, again, correct me, I think the story mode's being released in March. Okay. So I don't quite understand.
Why wasn't the game released in March?
Exactly. I don't know if there was pressure from Sony, which I don't know why there would be pressure from Sony because I can't think of any huge AAA Sony games that are coming out in March. You know what? Now that I think about it, there's a lot of big AAA games coming out in March and April. So maybe Sony was like, look, if you wanna sell this game on our console and actually hit numbers, you're going to need to release it in February.
Yeah, but do you think that's really the conversation that happens? I mean, think about the time, many times that, whether it's Sony or anybody else, releases games whenever they want. Especially, I mean, how many fighting games are coming out?
Yeah, but when you look at, and this could be Capcom more than Sony.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they've met on this. But when you look at games like Division coming out, you've got Far Cry Primal coming out late February as well.
Okay, that's true.
You've got a boatload of games. You've got Uncharted coming up too as well in April. We're starting to get into
Hitman.
I mean, everybody's excited about that. I mean, I have the free beta that I didn't even touch.
I'm excited.
But I think their goal was to get it out in February and kind of be like that Dying Light. I'm not saying it's the same game, but like launch in the same time frame.
Yeah.
And try to get more people to buy it that wouldn't normally buy it.
Yeah.
Like, I know I am like that. I already told you guys I don't buy all these accessories. I don't buy toys. I buy games. So if a game that I'm kind of interested comes out at a time when there's not much available or not much coming out that's new, I'll buy it. Like, I bought a couple years ago, I think it was Plants vs. Zombies. The shooter, not the little arcade title. I paid the $40 or $60, whatever it was. I used the Gamers Club Unlock, so I probably got it for $50. But I bought it, and I played it for a little bit, and I was like, oh, that's all right. But it's not a game I would normally buy.
Right.
I don't even have that much interest to buy the sequel. And it's not, again, it's not because it's a bad game. It's just there's so many other games coming out. I have no interest in it. I'll buy it later. But I didn't 2 years ago when it released, because it released when there wasn't that much out.
I would buy that argument if Mortal Kombat X were coming out this spring and not last year. There's really no fighting game competition for them to worry about. Yes, there's games coming out just about every time of year these days, except for maybe July and August. Maybe that's the real bear time where there's not a lot of games dropping. But in general, you're always going to have, hey, there's other stuff coming out kind of near here. I just don't buy it. I don't buy it being a scheduling thing. I think it has everything to do with whether it's a corporate thing at Capcom or maybe at Sony, but probably more Capcom. Like, that's our date. We're sticking to it. Don't delay it. Get it out. And then for some reason, I can't understand what those meetings must have been like. At some point, they agreed internally that the way to move forward is to release the game and then major sections of the content that people will probably be expecting at launch will be coming shortly after the game releases.
Yeah, but I mean, this is how a lot of games are doing it now, especially on PC. PC gamers are used to this.
Really?
But like
a full $60 game, and then they release content that you kind of need. Okay, all right.
I mean, they charge you less, obviously, but with this one, it's kind of like, what was the game that we were talking about? The little indie title that's being made by like the Mega Man guy.
Oh, Mighty Number 9.
Yeah, Mighty Number 9. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't release it because the online's not ready, and all the gamers that want to play this game are like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what? And I'm wondering if that's what they were thinking with Street Fighter. Were they thinking about launch, but they were thinking, what's the most important thing about Street Fighter, besides obviously characters and stuff? It's not story mode. Street Fighter's never had a good story mode.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
Had a good story mode. Okay, arcade mode, that's ridiculous, unacceptable, I'm not even going to try to make an excuse. Okay, so why do people buy Street Fighter? Well, because they want to play online, Bob. Okay, Bob, release it with online mode, and then we'll get the rest of the crap out.
And that's what they're trying to do, is they're just basically getting it out there, get the $60, get it out at a decent time, which February is a great time to release a game for that type of game. And get people playing online, get them good, get them in the training mode, and then here's the other thing. The messaging from Capcom with DLC has been terrible in the past. So this was a great opportunity for them to say, hey, listen, guys, guess what? We're going to release this franchise game that you guys love so much, and all the DLC is free. You can buy everything in-game. And we're going to release it slowly from March, April, May, kind of like Smash did the same thing, except you paid cash for it. But they released it slowly, and they kept supporting it. The same thing they're going to do with this. I would not be surprised if they have 35, 40 characters by the time Street Fighter V stops being supported.
Okay.
And I don't think all of them are going to be free. I think they'll probably have it where they're like, well, we'll release 10 as free, and then the rest you pay for. But my point is they're trying to change their messaging, and they're trying to say, hey, we screwed up with DLC. We tried to charge you for stuff that was already on the disc in the past. You guys freaked out about it because you found out about it. Now we're trying to show you that we're not doing that. And then anything that's coming out after launch, right now that we have announced, is on us. All you have to do is earn it in-game by playing our game. So that, for me personally, excited me. When I found that out, that's what I said earlier. I said, soon as Brian Pelfrey said, oh yeah, Derek, you don't need to buy a season pass. All the stuff will be unlocked as you play the game. That excited me. That changed my immediate reaction went from, oh, why did I buy this? To, yes, I'm so happy about that.
Well, all I so care about is your happiness. So.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you do. But at least I only paid $30 for it. So
yeah,
if I paid $60, maybe my reaction's a little different. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I didn't buy it, obviously. We've talked about this before.
Here,
but
Tim, you can have $30.
I am just, it just the way they released this and the way that they're rolling out stuff just feels very annoying to me. Again, outside looking in, it just seems like a really not smart way to do this. All right, let's talk about the other big game that's coming out this week. Coming out tomorrow, actually. The embargo went up yesterday on Wednesday, and so the reviews started pouring in. And so I know you said you've already looked at this, but let me go ahead and tell the people. Fire Emblem Fates, it's right around 88 or 89, depending on which version you're looking at, for the average Metacritic rating, which is just stellar. The user ratings, of course, it's not out yet, so they're not in quite yet. But Fire Emblem Fates is reviewing, to no surprise, fantastically. Each version, Conquest, Birthright, and then they have a separate listing for some reason for the special edition, which includes both versions. So ignore that one.
Yeah, I don't
but Conquest and Birthright are both getting right under 90 so far in their review averages, and to me that's no surprise at all. Again, I encourage you, if you're interested at all, go listen to the NVC podcast where they talk about Fire Emblem, and really there's many other shows and podcasts, articles, videos you can find. I think GameSpot put up a video where they talk about Fire Emblem quite a bit and their experience so far. And as the game releases, there's only going to be more and more people talking about their experience with it, why you should care. Listen, here's the bottom line. If you like turn-based strategy RPGs at all, even a little bit, if you liked Final Fantasy Tactics back in the day, if you played Advance Wars, if you like even Civilization, for example, even though it's not a city builder, if you like that turn-based strategy style of game, you need to play Fire Emblem. Get a 3DS and get this game. It looks amazing. And I have no doubt that when I finally play it tomorrow night, it's going to meet my expectations and probably exceed them. So I'm very excited. I know Derek is too. Those reviews don't surprise me whatsoever.
Yeah, I was a little bummed, not for the scores. Like, obviously, an 88, 89 is awesome. But you posted a day or two ago about the top 25 3DS games. Mm-hmm. And Awakening is at a meta score of 92.
Right.
I should say that better. Top 25 highest rated per Metacritic.
Right.
3DS games. And I believe, wasn't Awakening a number 2 at 92?
I can look that up, yeah.
I think it was. And my comment to you, because you were asking, where do you think these Fire Emblem games are going to fall? And I really wanted to believe it was going to end up being higher than Awakening. So I actually said that they would end up being number 2.
It was number 2 under Ocarina of Time, And it, Fire Emblem Awakening got a 92. Yep.
Yeah. So I was hoping it would beat out Awakening. Unfortunately, it didn't. But that's just for personal reasons. I would have loved to see that.
And, you know, it still could. I mean, Awakening was off of 72 critic scores. And so far, the Fates games are still under 20 each. So,
which is really impressive when you think about that. 72 opinions and 92 score. So that's pretty impressive. I don't think Fates will now, but I was really hoping it would. But still, 88, 89 for a game that's coming out a couple years after probably the most successful Fire Emblem game ever.
Has to be.
I'm talking success in both sales and reviews.
It's got to be. It's got to be.
It's pretty awesome that they were able to release this and have that much high end quality with basically three games. You have two full 40 to 80, 100 hour game. I don't know how long it takes for both of those. And then I know Revelations is a little bit shorter, but it still feels like a full game. And actually, from all the reviews I read and listened to, all of them praise Revelations as actually having the best actual story.
Oh, cool.
That the other two were good, but the third one really pays it off. So it was like, oh, if I actually beat these, they're giving me a reason to go and actually play the third one, which I look more as an expansion than I do a full game.
Well, guys, be looking out for our thoughts on Fire Emblem Fates in the very, very near future. And we're both really excited for that one. So
yeah, I think we'll be talking about that a lot.
Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We're gonna wrap it up now. We actually have plans for a spoiler discussion on Life is Strange here in the near future. I recently finished it, and Derek and I have some thoughts we want to talk about with that game. But for our purposes now, we're gonna wrap up episode 7. So Derek, as always, let's leave the people with some words of wisdom. What do you got?
Just play video games. Ignore family, working is optional, and do lots of drugs.
Oh, so good. All right, you guys, see ya.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Hello, it's me. I was wondering, is it too late now to say sorry?
Sorry.
'Cause I love your podcast.
All right, that's a wrap.